download the recordings in MP3 format. We ask that if you do not need to eat during the meeting, please, if you do need to eat during the meeting, please eat quietly in the back of the room. Please take a moment to silence or turn off your cell phones. And to open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation. And for those who wish, join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Okay, I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself? Oh, all the way back there too, cool. Okay, the We Care folder will be circulating in the room for the duration of the meeting. The first time for you to list your name, telephone number, and email, and the rest for you to take names and phone numbers to call during the week. If you are joining us remotely, please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you after the meeting via text or email. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is How?
Hi, this is Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi. What is How? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in How sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. Pass.
Heidi, would someone please read the only requirement?
Hi there. I wonder if there's a miscommunication. Am I the one who's supposed to read the only requirement?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Hi, everybody. The only requirement. Hi, it's Revi Tal, recovering compulsive overeater and food addict, grateful to be here tonight. Okay, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the How concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, quote, "We understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime," end quote. And again, quote, "The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms." Thank you.
Thanks, Revi Tal. Would someone please read the How concept?
Hello, my name is Karen.
Oh, Karen, come on up. She's on her way. Yeah, you can speak into this and the camera's right there.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
The how concept. Hello, my name is Karen. The Overeater. The Overeater Anonymous How meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer a sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all of those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of a meeting, in the daily adherence to the program, and it is written in our literature. The evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive eating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested in this room. Amen.
Thank you, Karen. I'll keep it. Okay, would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
Hello, my name is Paulette.
Hi, Paulette. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to OA. H-O-W, how. We are all so glad that you have decided to become part of our fellowship. You know that the how concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord. Even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his or her own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by food does not often recover overnight. nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful, healthy restorative. The family afterward. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you.
Thank you, Paulette.
Thanks.
Okay, would someone please read an excerpt from step two of the OA 12 and 12?
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome.
Excerpt from step two of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive system. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered. Yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. And I pass.
Thank you, Debbie. Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, how it works?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have a capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember, we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it's too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which I suggested as a program of recovery. And I pass.
Thank you, Tamara.
You're welcome.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
This is Lisa J. in Oregon.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Oops, wait a minute. The host muted me, it says. You can hear me, though?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Here we go, the 12 steps. I am a compulsive overeater in Oregon. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. From the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks, Lisa. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, everyone. I'm Liz A., grateful compulsive overeater in Ormond Beach, Florida.
Hi, Liz. Welcome.
Thanks. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Our personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Liz, thank you. Okay, the tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used. Yep. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? Thank you, Sheila. And virtual participants receive timing prompts via chat. So the first tool is abstinence plan of eating.
Hey, y'all. It's Megan in Virginia.
Hi, Megan. Welcome.
Thank you. And plan of eating. I'm getting over to my screen. There we go. Got it. Okay. To be read by an OA house sponsor. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. Excuse me. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. 1, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Got up too early, sorry. Unless approached by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate, or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. 3, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. Verbally describe what you do. Okay, so I have an abstinent kit. I have a few different things I use. So first thing I will use is, this is my, if you can see it, there it is, my big kitchen scale. It's fairly large, takes up a lot of real estate on my counter. And I have a big plate. I can put a full-size dinner plate on that, and I will put a portion, say 4 ounces of protein, and I zero it out, and then I will put on the next 3 ounces of rice, and I zero it out. And I can build a meal that way. A lot of times people call it build a meal. My food plan is set up by my nutritionist so that everything is weighed. I don't use measuring cups or spoons at this point. So if I'm having, I had sour cream tonight, I had 2 ounces of sour cream, and I just weigh it right on my scale. If I needed to use a cup, I'm looking for my cup, but I don't think I have it here. I could use a cup if I absolutely needed to, and if my food plan called for it, I would use a cup, and I would pack it into the cup and scrape across the top with some sort of straight edge to level it off, and then that what was in the cup would be mine, and what was on the edge or fallen out would not be. So that's how I 90% of the time do my food on my kitchen scale. Been traveling quite a bit over the past weekend, and I'll be traveling again this weekend, unfortunately for a funeral. And I have this scale that I take with me. And this is nice because it opens up, and you can put a full size plate right on top of this. It's a little more sensitive than my kitchen scale. It can be a little bit more finicky, and it takes those really small watch batteries, the flat ones. So I make sure in my abstinence kit, my travel bag, I always have extra batteries in this. I also have things like a little plate to weigh things on. I have plastic utensils. I have just little things that make my life easier when I'm on the road. Splenda for coffee, things like that. So that's what I carry my extra food in. I carry backups in that bag. I carry my scale. I carry everything I need so that when I'm someplace, I can build an abstinent meal. And if the restaurants run out of a baked potato, I'll have some sort of shelf-stable starch in there, rice cakes or a cracker that I can substitute. I carry things like soy nuts for protein. I used to carry B8. That's very convenient. I can't drink it anymore. So now I pack up carrots and tomatoes and stuff. So taking extra foods with me when I'm traveling is always very important for me. And I think that's everything. And a phone. Got to have a phone. Got to have the phone to commit it. And you got to have a phone to make any food changes that come up that you need. Okay. 4, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week on maintenance. 5, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. 6, we do not drink alcohol. 7, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed 5th or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. And so that's the reading. And I wanted to pitch on food plan because I was in a situation all weekend where I was in a hospice room with a family member who was dying. And there was tons of food. Every time someone else showed up, they brought a bag with them, right? I mean, what do? You bring food, right? I brought her food, you know? And so there's so much junk food in this room and some okay things. But I had my food bag, I had my abstinence kit with me, and I had packed various things that I knew would travel well. And guess what? They also had a food store like right in that town. Go figure. They too had food stores. And I was able to go there and pick up some additional items, some fresh items that made it easier for me to eat on my food plan. And I weighed and measured through the whole weekend and took time to eat my meals, sitting down to take a break. And actually it was good self-care to get out of the room for a little bit and eat my meals. And the program is completely portable. It's workable under any circumstances. And we can be present and aware, because we're not headfirst in the food in these situations. So I know people have worked their food, their program, and you stayed abstinent in really varied situations, and it's always doable. And that's just what I wanted to really pitch on, that it is doable no matter what. And that's it. I will pass with that, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Megan. Sponsorship.
Good evening. This is Mary G.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask the sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string being that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addictions. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. So I thought I'd lead off with reading something from Voices of Recovery. It's sort of very apropos because we actually did recently have a conference. So this is from February 29th. It said, at a recent conference, I saw 12-step acted out in all its glory. My three sponsors, all of whom have back-to-back abstinence, were there encouraging, telling others how to do it. They knew that they would probably not hear anything new for themselves. They went only to bring the message of healing to someone who was still suffering. They are living proof of good health, energy, and normal weight. They are the promises exemplified. Their faces shone with abstinence and the joy of themselves. As if that were not enough, when we got home, we all attended our regular meeting. The leader of the evening had us share what we had experienced at the conference. That way, everyone got to go. As we hugged each other goodbye, one of my sponsors was chuckling to herself. I have to hurry home in case my new sponsoree from conference calls. She just keeps on giving and giving and giving. I follow my sponsor's example. I am abstinent, healthy, and enjoy my life and everyone in it. I am ready to sponsor. I finally have something to give. So I think for most of us, if not for all of us, the first thing that caught our attention as newcomers, I know at least when I first came in the room, was the sponsor line. To have those folks get up, and you'll see that in a little bit, and just share how long they've been in the program and how much weight they've lost or gained. And that's, it's just sort of an amazing thing when people, I mean, it was amazing to me when I had a friend that was abstinent for 3 months. I mean, I thought that was amazing. well, we've got people who have been abstinent for 15 years. I mean, that really goes to show that this program really works. And that really does strike people. And it also gives us a lot of hope that this, actually, this is one program that could work for us. Little do we know when we come in, most of us come in trying to lose weight, that it's not about, that it's actually not about the weight. That our sponsors will help us look into not only physical recovery, actually our nutritionist helps us in that, but actually the emotional and the spiritual as well. And, you know, as a sponsor, if I'm stumped by my sponsee, I have a whole team of sponsors that I can call on. There are just bunches of us that are here recovering together and just anxious to help the newcomer that wants to recover as well. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Yep. Okay. Well, all sponsors, How and OA, please join me in sharing the following. How long in OA and how? How long abstinence in OA or how? How much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. You may line up starting at the microphone and continuing around the room to the right. Remote sponsors are invited to share following our line by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera or just turning on your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and see you are muted by host screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors joining us on the phone, please wait for a pause in the line and press star and six on your telephone keypad.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 33 years. I have 18 years and 4 months of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Good evening, I'm Mary G again, compulsive overeater. I came to OA in 2004 in Western Mass. We moved to Minnesota almost 7 years ago now. And my first meeting was coming up. My favorite holiday was on Halloween. I became abstinent the next day and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm Rosemary F. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of How in April of 2005 after somebody gently 12-stepped me for over a year and a half to come into this program. I have been relieved of 70 pounds through the grace of this fellowship and maintaining that for about the last 14 years. My current abstinence state back-to-back is February 24th of 2019, and I am currently looking for a sponsor and would appreciate it if anybody who is a sponsor would contact me. I'm on the list, Rosemary F.
Hi, I'm Michelle G., compulsive overeater. I came into How October 2003. I had a relapse a year ago. My current abstinence date is June 14th of this year, and I'm down 35 pounds.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater. I came directly to How in May of 2015. My abstinence date is May 19th of 2015, and I've been relieved of over 90 pounds.
I am Lori A. I'm a compulsive overeater. Welcome newcomers and the newcomers in our room here. I started the How program in November of 2006. That's my abstinence date from compulsive overeating and sugar. My recommitment date is November of 2018. I'm maintaining a 200 pound weight loss.
Hey all, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater and an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June the 8th of 2015. I've given away 90 pounds twice in program. I'm a relapse survivor. I've had an abstinent pregnancy and I pass.
Heidi.
Hi. Heidi came directly in 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for 7 years. And then I left the program for 2.5 years, gained most of that back. I'm currently back in the program at 8 pounds.
Melanie.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. I was first introduced to Overeaters Anonymous in 1989. It took me 17 years to find how, and I'm grateful that I am a 2-hour house sponsor, recovered today because of the concept of how. I have an absence date of November 5th, 2005, and I'm maintaining over 165-pound weight loss for about 13 of those years. Melanie in Oregon, thanks.
Debbie. Tell her she needs done.
Now, can you hear me? My name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to OA in February of 2005. I started working the How concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I'm down about 110 pounds, and I pass.
Vitale.
Hi there. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revitale. I walked into the OA rooms in 2004, was not able to maintain any length of abstinence, was introduced to the 2-hour OA How program on May 23rd of 2017, became abstinent, and I continue to remain abstinent to this day by the grace of God and the power of this program. I have been relieved of over 100 pounds. I do not have any openings. I'm grateful to be here tonight. Thank you.
Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa. I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and a sponsor in the 2-hour format. And I first went to an OA meeting in the 1970s. I started OA 2-hour How in October of 2015. My recommitted abstinence date is March 25th of 2017. And I am maintaining a weight that is somewhere north of 75 pounds less than my top known weight. Lisa in Oregon, thank you. I pass.
Rebecca.
Thanks. Hi, my name is Rebecca Beam in Ohio. I'm a sponsor in the 2-hour OA How format. I came to regular OA about 5 years ago, came out of relapse, a 2.5-year relapse back in February of 2019. And today is day 102 of my current abstinence. Since I came back in February. So far I've lost 40 pounds and I have 35 to go until I'm a healthy weight. I passed.
Tamara.
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into traditional OA on January 2nd of 2016. I heard about the How program and became abstinent on April 3rd of 2017. By the grace of God and the miracles of this program, I've been relieved of 97 pounds from my top weight, with over 75 pounds lost in the HAL program. And I pass. Thank you.
Jody.
Hi, I'm Jody M. in Minnesota, and I'm a sponsor in the 2-hour HAL format. I first came into the rooms of HAL in November 2009. My current abstinence date is July 5th. 2016, and since that date, I've been relieved of over 100 pounds. Thank you. Pass.
Julie.
Hi, my name is Julie R. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to OA in 81 to the 2-hour HAL program in 2005. My renewed abstinence date is June 11th, 2019, and I'm maintaining 155-pound weight loss. Pass.
Okay. Is that it, did you say? Star 6, if anyone on the phone would like to share, any sponsors on the phone? Okay, I'll read clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Okay, anonymity. Here I am. Just find the reading. Sorry about that, folks. Okay, here we go. Again, I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict, and my name is Revi Tal. Anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for the group members in trouble. For group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is a part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time honestly who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told, quote, your secrets are safe, end quote. Come share our recovery, on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers, please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
Here, here. Basically, I thought that this message for me is very, very important, not because, of course, it's important not to gossip because that's not healthy for my recovery or anyone's really, and not because it feels safe to know that I can say anything here and most likely you will not be shocked because you may share a similar story or know someone else who has shared a similar story. That's not the reason why I value anonymity so much. The reason why I value anonymity so very much is because as a recovering compulsive overeater, you know, I have these character defects that keep coming back. You know, I'm not cured. I'm in recovery, which means that anything can happen in life and I can just go to those old knee-jerk responses where I apply my instincts in a defective manner. You know, pride, for example, I can use pride in such a defective way. I can also use pride effectively when I do my inventory work and I do the program work. And bottom line, classic step one, when life is unmanageable and I feel uncomfortable feelings, I'm at risk for getting real cravy. And in recovery, even though I'm not craving, I somehow mess up the food. I mess up the weights or the timing or it. I don't know, the two areas in my brain are wired
differently. Here in program, when I respect and trust that others are respecting the concept of anonymity, it means to me that we are agreeing to abide by a certain code of ethics, if you will. And what that means to me is that we're listening for the story and not attaching it, and thus putting myself in a vulnerable situation where my character defects will come into play. I'm using my higher order thinking. I'm listening, I'm witnessing for the story, listening for the commonality with compassion, patience, tolerance, and love and kindliness. I'm listening for the common bond that we share no matter where we come from. And so I'm listening for the message, and trying very much in my human capacity not to attach it to the person. Because my issue is I become, in an unhealthy manner, I become attached to things. And then I form fears and resentments and all these false illusions and delusions. Anonymity protects me from all of that. I am reminded, and I need that reminder on a regular basis because I am not perfect, far from it, to listen to the message and try very much to lovingly detach. And that helps everyone to stay safe and in contact with our higher order thinking, our higher power. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Ravital. Telephone calls.
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome.
Hello, thank you. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors and, as a part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In HOW, we're asked to make at least 4 phone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. Quite often before program, I went for long periods of time without reaching out to my family or friends to talk. I always thought I had to call them when I was in a good mood, when things were going great, when life was wonderful, and I could never really seem to call them and be genuine with my feelings or my situation or my outlook or depression or whatever. And so they would get quite worried, obviously, after a week or two. If they didn't hear from me, they knew I was in a slump. But yet, if the phone were to ring, I'd pick it up and I'd say, "Hi, yes, I'm doing great." And nothing was really genuine. But now I have reached out and asked for help many times on the phone to those fellows in this community. And it's very valuable to be able to not have any barrier between their listening ears, they're unjudgmental, they're nice, reliable, you know, fact that they will listen and not judge and be there and also not pass it on to other people what they have heard. So telephone is just very, very valuable. I recently got the book As Bill Sees It, and I just happened to open it up here. Healing Talk is, it was originally published in Grapevine in August of 1961, but it talks about communication. This privileged communications that we have has priceless advantages. We find in them the perfect opportunity to be as honest as we know how to be. We do not have to think of the possibility of damage to other people, nor need we fear ridicule or condemnation. And that's truly what we have when we practice reaching out to people. And not only the good times, but also the trying times. So thank you all for being there on phone hookup calls. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Tamara. Meetings.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Debbie.
Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. You know, the key word for me there is fellowship is the basis of them all. And I want to read out of Voices of Recovery. This is on February 12th. There's something about this fellowship of individuals that has completely changed my life. I think the spirituality of OA comes from the comforting word, we. I am not alone. I used to find comfort in my food, but it was a lonely, sad kind of comfort. Now my comfort is in this fellowship. There's much love in this program. Even if I feel tired and cranky when I walk into a meeting, smiles and hugs greet me. The honest sharing, holding of hands, and praying transform and energize me. When I can't make a meeting, I can make a phone call. When I can't make a phone call, I can send an email or write a letter to another OAer. I'm part of a we. In this wonderful program, I found love and understanding beyond my wildest dreams. Thank God for OA. And for me, that's what it's all about. I'm part of the we. And even though I'm not there in the rooms, I still get to participate. I still get to speak. I still get to read. I still get to do service. And I get to see everybody that is on the phone and in the room. So I really appreciate being part of the we. That is our group and our fellowship. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie.
Literature and writing.
Hello, everybody. I'm Rosemary F. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rosemary. Welcome.
Literature and writing. Literature. We studied the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. Our daily meditation for today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it, and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, our inventories, and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. I've always been a reader, so literature wasn't a difficult tool for me. I love reading and I love our literature. And it seems like, you know, I can pick up the Big Book and just page through it. And in any page, I can find something that means something to me. I have actually, tonight I had picked out a couple of passages and then I dropped the book and lost my marker. And then I opened it to a couple other places and I thought, well, I could just as well talk about this or that. But I did come back and find the ones that I had selected because for me, I mentioned in the sponsor line that I had been 12-step for about 18 months before coming into How. But I had learned about How from somebody long before that, many, many years, even before it came to Minnesota. And it was just, it was not for me. I didn't need that kind of craziness. Well, I kept going and going, and finally I was like 200 pounds. I was up to 200 pounds, and I was really overweight and miserable. And finally I came in, and I became willing. And that's what I thought about tonight was, it says from the Freedom from Bondage, AA taught me that willingness to believe was enough for a beginning. It's been true in my case, nor could I quarrel with restorers to sanity. For my actions, drunk or sober, or full of food, before AA or OA were not those of a sane person. And that was certainly true for me. And even after How came into the Twin City area, and I started hearing about it from people, and especially this friend of mine that 12-stepped me for so long and saw the change in her, I still was resisting and resisting and resisting. And well, I loved literature, I hated writing. And I'd been in another 12-step program for many years, and my sponsor there kept encouraging me to journal. And I would journal, and I would journal, and it just seemed like it never went anywhere. And but with How, we're given an assignment initially by our sponsor. Eventually, sometimes as we move on and are in the program for several years, we can talk with our sponsor, and there might be a book, you know, in the literature that we want to read again, and so we go back to that. But basically, I find it very helpful. I have a passage from something in the literature, in the library, and I can write on it. And sometimes after 14 years in the program, I think, oh, what is there new to say about this? But I start writing and something comes. My higher power brings a new thought to me or a new realization or helps me remember an incident where that particular thing was really, really instrumental in my staying abstinent and in recovery. So these are two tools which I think are just really essential, and I have learned to love doing them. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosemary. Service.
Oh, hi.
Oh, there we go.
Hi, this is Rebecca B. in Ohio.
Hey, Rebecca, welcome.
So I have service. Coley Howe, sponsor. Tool 8, service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we can give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion, for this I am responsible. And I really think that the greatest service we can have, especially in OA How, is abstinence. Just because there's such a need for sponsors, there's such a need for people who can show newcomers, show oldcomers, returning members, whoever, everyone, we all need to see a quote success story, or at least to see, hey, I can do this too. It's so encouraging when we have a sponsor line to hear about everyone's recovery and how long they've been in program and their back-to-back dates. I just love hearing it, and it's really inspiring. Another service that I see is really important for me is picking up the phone, whether you're calling out or answering the phone, but especially answering the phone when it rings, is huge for when I'm the other person on the line anyway. It's huge for me. It's like, I got somebody. All right, because I really needed to talk, or you know, I got the monkey chatter or whatever else is going on. That means you're there for somebody. And you can do that whether you're
you know, day one or day 1001. And that's just some of the really cool stuff that's everyone is able to do. Yeah, and I think with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thanks, Rebecca. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service? And that's all. You bet. Yeah, your help is out here. Thank you, guys. Awesome. If you have not yet added your information to the chat for our We Care book, please take a moment to do so now so we can add it to the book here in the room. We will keep the We Care book circulating until everyone has had an opportunity to sign it. The folder will continue to circulate for the duration of the meeting so that everyone may take names and phone numbers for their personal contacts. Enter your email in the chat to receive the list. Is there anyone who has not yet signed? Yeah, I'll get to it. Okay. The Minnesota OA How live meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are here with us today for the first time in the meeting room, will you please stand and introduce yourself by first name only? We have a couple in the meeting room.
Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi,
Paulette. Welcome, you guys. Thanks for coming. If you are attending for the first time virtually, please click the raise hand icon, turn on your camera, or press star and 6 on your telephone keypad. Any newcomers? Okay, come on. Okay, may we please have a treasurer's report? Oh. Oh, you're muted. Can't hear you, Heidi. Heidi, we can't hear you yet. No. Yeah, we're not able to hear you, but thank you. I know Howard always says we need money, so I'll add that. Okay, thanks for your service, Heidi. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. A basket will be passed for those here in the room. And those joining virtually, you may go to minhowlive.org to donate. Okay, I have some bad news. I know it's a fun meeting so far, but this is bad news because it was bad news for us and it will probably be bad news for you. Whether you quit 6 days, months, or years, if you go out and take the first compulsive bite of food, you'll end up just like you have been in the past. You are a compulsive eater. That's from the Big Book, page 187. I know. Are there any announcements here in the room or virtually? Sheila has an announcement.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sheila. Welcome.
So a few things that I want to give you a heads up on. First of all, the recordings from the convention that took place here in Minnesota at the beginning of October are now available for purchase. And so you can actually go out to overeaters.org, go to events, and then there will be a listing for recordings. And you can go right out there to get the recordings of the convention. Also, there are a couple of workshops coming up. One of them is November 16th in Wayzata from 9 a.m. to noon. It's called Getting Unstuck in OA. And you can also register for that at overeaters.org. And then in January, there's a workshop taking place in Anoka, and that's Tools of the Trade Abstinence. Tools of the Trade Abstinence in Action, sorry. And that's January 25th. In Anoka from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That you can also register on overeaters.org. And then a couple of dates that I just want to give you a heads up on. The Buffalo Retreat will be April 3rd to April 5th, 2020, here in Minnesota. And then the Big Book Study is scheduled for May of 2020. It's May 29th to the 31st. And the last thing I have is the Buffalo Retreat is in need of a co-chair and a finance coordinator. So if anyone is interested in either of those service opportunities, you can let me know and I can get you the contact information of who you can contact for that. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay, literature and books, newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At OA How meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the How program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone joining us virtually may also request a medallion by turning on your camera, raising your hand, sending a chat message, or unmuting your phone. And I am going to share medallions. We like to give out medallions or little chips of hope, but there is hope always. And we go by years and then break down under 2 years into some months categories. So is there anyone here or virtually that is celebrating 10 years or more?
Nine.
Okay, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2 years, 18 months. Okay, 1 year, anyone 1 year back-to-back abstinence? 9 months, 6 months. 3 months.
Oh, that was such a big.
Yes. Oh. And we have some action here. Carrie.
Not quite. Celebrate. Not quite 3 months. One month.
30 days. Okay. Wow. Yes. Okay. 1 month. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right. Awesome. That's wonderful. That's great. Keep it up. Keep coming back.
Thank you.
And then Jane? Somebody raised her hand. Okay.
Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. Jane. I don't think you can see me, but, there we go. That should work. Hey. Hi, I'm 1 month.
Okay, another 30 days. Oh, wow. Yep, that's what happens. And look at the smile. This is wonderful. Okay, any other 30 days?
I'm sure if they put their address in the chat, we'll send them.
Oh, yeah. Ladies, if you put your address in the chat, we will send you your medallions.
Okay.
Okay, next we have a newcomer medallion. This is for any newcomer that has heard something here that they are intrigued about, want to try something different, change their relationship with food, or anyone doing the program that wants a little boost, little recharge, a little more love and hugs on their medallion. So if anyone would like a 24-hour medallion, I've got some. You get a hug too. Where are they? Yeah. Just a desire to do something different with your food. Okay, anyone virtually that would like a 24-hour medallion? Okay, all right. Well, we will still have them. Send a chat or let us know and we will get you one. Okay, so step ups. Yeah. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with the cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and remember that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups? And there are not. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. Are there any anniversaries tonight? No, I guess no one has signed up. Yeah, coming up. Oh, we didn't have that in announcements. Virtual attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. And the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. Okay. Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay, Natalia. Woo! Let's get up and clap for Natalia, 30 days. Is she on the phone? Okay. Thank you. Thank you for letting us know that. Okay, this is so exciting that we have three people with 30 days. And that is hard. That is hard. I'm Lori, a compulsive overeater. Boy, that shifts what I want to say, because you guys are amazing. When I was in traditional OA for just a very short time. I'll pan these over. I have a 30-year history of yo-yo dieting. Sheila's going to hold up some of my photos. I tried many, many, many diets, all of which were for a specific reason other than to feel better about myself or get healthy. It was, I have to look good because of reunion coming up or a trip, or, you know, for some reason, I had to lose this weight, or I started dating someone, and that would last a short time. I never got to any amount of maintenance. I could lose weight. I have lost 85 pounds. I've lost more than that, only to put that much back on and go higher. I remember losing 85 pounds for a cruise. My mom altered a lot of my clothes. She was so excited for me. And I was white knuckling it on this cruise so bad. And there was one night where they had a chocolate buffet. Everybody had talked about it. And I was not going to go. I pretty much locked myself in the room. Everybody else went to the chocolate buffet, and I made it. I didn't do it. But the next morning, when we came back into our room from being out for breakfast, there was chocolates on the pillow and all these cute little towel designs. And I was like, okay, I'm having my chocolate now. So I can't stop at one piece. So I flagged down the man that does the animal towel things and asked for more chocolate. And he gave me just a whole bunch of chocolate. Well, that started my gaining 12 pounds on the rest of this cruise. And it was not a 2-week cruise or anything like that. But anyway, so that's just a little history of my yo-yo dieting, my up and down. And I got to the point with, Nutrisystem, Atkins, Weight Watchers. I contacted, you know, my medical doctor never really spoke with me about, seriously about, let's talk about your weight, let's talk about your health. I did not get that from him. As a matter of fact, I'm the one that said to him, what is it possible to talk about this gastric bypass surgery? And he said, sure, I'll write you a referral. That was it. That was his job. You know, he's not going to talk to me about nutrition and or why I'm like this. And so I started jumping through their hoops to go through the process for a gastric bypass surgery. And I passed a psychological evaluation. I went to their welcome meetings where people would get up and share their stories. And then I had to have the meeting with the nurse before they would schedule me. And I remember she took a picture of me and she calculated my BMI and she was, oh, you know, it's like, what's up? Well, we have obesity and we have morbid obesity. And I know those terms. I've seen it in my chart, right? Morbidly obese. And then we have super morbid obesity. And we also have super morbid obesity. And she educated me on that with what I was. And I was well over that. So my top weight was 370 pounds. I could no longer weigh myself on a medical scale. So I was miserable. I want to read a little bit about, actually this is today's reading and for today. Under the heavy anesthetic of compulsive overeating, there was perfect security. I felt no pain or confusion. In fact, I didn't feel a thing. The price I paid for such peace was to chop off all my connections with reality and with life itself. And how I did that was that perfect security of food. And literally how I would chop off my connection with reality and other people was, and I wasn't working. I would stop at Walgreens and get a large bag of Dove chocolates. And then I would go to a movie. I would sit and look at the list of movies, what times. I would wait for my husband to leave to go back to work after he came home for lunch. And I would, go to the 2 o'clock movie. Didn't matter what it was. If it was a good movie, that was fine, but I didn't even care because I was going to go. I was going to get the large popcorn. I was going to ask them to put butter halfway up, then put the rest in, then more butter. I had no problem telling people what I wanted to eat when I was that large. I would go to Cinnabons and get 2 large Cinnabons, an extra frosting for each, and then I just couldn't stand to see the goo at the bottom of the pan. It's like, are you serious? I would ask for the goo at the bottom of the pan. And I can laugh about this now, but those are some of my binge stories. So after the movie, the whole popcorn, the whole bag of Dove chocolates, I would go home by, I would happen to be passing a Culver's, I would take that route. I could take the freeway or I can go on Centerville Road. There's no Culver's by me. And I would in my mind, You know you're going to stop. And then I would try, nope, you need to go home and make dinner for your husband and your son. But you know you're going to stop. That voice, that monkey chatter. And I would. I would pull in the drive up. I would get a family-sized cheese curd and a burger. And I would go home, eat what was left that I didn't eat in the car, and I would then make a meal for my family. So that's what got me here was the eating, the weight, I never thought about the reasons for all of that. But so then I started some OA meetings in May of 06. And there was not recovery there. There was not, there wasn't anything that I wanted to ask someone to sponsor me, because when they raised their hands, this is just my experience in the small meeting I went to, for about 5 months, everyone wanted to be a sponsor. They were willing to be a sponsor, and I appreciated that. But the next thing we talked about was some pitches where they told me that they lasted until 10:30 before they went to the vending machine and got a Snickers bar, or what bakery they had to eat that morning. So I knew I was not going to get a sponsor there. But they did bring a flyer for the Minnesota State Convention, and I went to that. Was introduced to the how format, and I was blown away by the sponsor line, like others have shared here. And I left that meeting with the sponsor. And I left, then we went and sat in the lobby of the hotel, and I left that gathering with a time to call this new sponsor, and she gave me her food plan to get started. And I went home that night and I had my first abstinent meal. And I have never looked back. I am so grateful that I jumped in. Everybody starts, at their own pace. We all get here at a different way, a different level, over different times. And I think we all get to our bottom in our own way, at our own pace, at our own time. And then we find recovery, and whether we jump in or whether we go to meetings for several months. And then at some point, hopefully you'll join us. Hopefully you'll see that this is what works if you are a true compulsive overeater. So I can just say, this is what it's like now, the rest of this reading. In my fondest dreams, I did not imagine that such a life could be turned around. Yet, that is exactly what happened when I found OA. Today, I have no need to cut myself off from anything. Feelings are feelings. They have only as much power over me as I am willing to give them. I do not have to be afraid that my feelings will blow me away. I can allow myself to feel them, talk about them, write about them, and watch them dissipate. I do not need to fake security of, I do not need the fake security of compulsive overeating. And the reason I like this is because of all the word feelings, because that's what got me. You know, of course the food got me there, but why was I eating? And to me, that's, this program is a difference between a diet that gives me what to eat, but doesn't deal with the reason that I'm eating. And that's what this 12-step program gives me. And I'm so grateful. And I've been reading in the OA 12 and 12, and what a gem of a book. I just love this. So one of the things it says right at the end of step 12, before we get to the traditions, we gratefully follow in the footsteps of many others who have walked this way before us. And we're gratified to be making footprints of our own for others to follow. And that's exactly what happens in this fellowship, is we are here for you. We'll share our experience with you, how we did it. There's so much help. Sponsors, other fellows, all of us that are doing this program. And then you will eventually make your own footprints. And then at the very end, those of us who live this program don't simply carry the message, we are the message. Each day that we live well, we are well. And we embody the joy of recovery, which attracts others who want what we found in OA. We're always happy to share our secret, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, which empower each of us to live well and be well one day at a time. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Okay, and I would like to introduce Michelle, our guest who qualifies for 20 minutes.
Hey, Michelle. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Lori. That was a tough act to follow. My name's Michelle G, and I am a compulsive overeater. You are my sister. boy, I haven't told my story in a long time, and I'm coming back from relapse, and so I was nervous about doing this. I am nervous about doing this, and so I wrote it out, and I'm not used to just reading what I wrote. So I'm going to do a little reading, a little ad-libbing, and I'll probably get lost, you know, trying to do both. So bear with me. The pictures are, that's 1995 after I gave birth to my twins. And I was on bed rest with, when I was pregnant with them, I got up to 230 pounds. That was my highest weight. After I went to traditional OA for a minute, for a second, and found out that they don't eat sugar or flour. And so I tried that on my own. And then I went to Weight Watchers and did it without sugar and flour, and I actually lost weight. That was that picture down below. So I had, and then I got, after, then I got pregnant again for a fifth time and had him. I had gained 70 pounds. And that picture is the fifth child. And I was up again, like 200 pounds. There I am with him there. That's one of the twins. So, but I joined HOW right away, and 6 months later lost all the weight. And there's that same baby, still a baby. And I lost all that weight, like 10 pounds a month.
Wow.
You know, 60 pounds in 6 months. And like 14 years later, there's that baby in the red shirt in front of me. I'm still at maintenance.
Yeah.
And doing it very imperfectly. And then last year I had a relapse, and here's my relapse picture on the left. That's me a year ago. In the winter in Tokyo. So, up and down, mostly eating during my pregnancies. That was my time, like free for all, right? I didn't have to diet. I could eat whatever I wanted. No excuses. So, I going back to like starting at the beginning as a child, I started eating in secret as a child. I'd volunteer to bake and I would eat most of the cookie dough. So I learned to bake double batches right away so that no one would notice what was gone. I would eat when I babysat. I would eat the ice cream from underneath so that they, you know, didn't see what I ate. Yeah. Because you get sneaky, right? I ate sweets because of what it did for me. It seemed like it was the solution. It wasn't the problem. It got rid of that discomfort, like that disease, you know, any uncomfortable feeling, any fear that I lived with, it immediately went away. I don't even know why. It just made me feel better. And if something made me feel better, I always wanted more of it. So it just like, if more was good, then more, you know, more was even better. So, I always needed something, you know, so like later on it was alcohol and, you know, then later on it was other things. And, the problem with food was, if one was good, more was better. And then the problem was once I started, I couldn't stop. There was like no shut off, you know, it's sort of like if there was ever like a mark, like, oh, I'm going to have six, like I would always miss the mark, you know, I'd always go blow way past the mark. So that's why I binged alone. So if I was around other people, I would eat normal. I mean, even sweets, I would just be like, oh yeah, three, you know, that's good, whatever. My mom was a dietitian and she always said that three was like a serving, you know? And so I remember when I was an adult and I, in my head, I'm like, okay, my mom said, you know, I would get the Girl Scout cookies would come and I would be like, okay, I'm gonna have three. And I would get the box out and I would put three down and I would open them up and I would have three and I'd put the box away and then I would just eat them real slow to make them last. And I would be like, do, 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 do. And I'd be, you know, thinking about the box in the cupboard, you know, and I'd be like, those are awfully small cookies. I bet she meant medium sized cookies when she was talking about three, so I'm gonna go back and have three more, and that'd be really be three, you know. I mean, I would always think of an excuse to have more, you know, like if three was my number, then I was gonna have three more to equal three, and then I would be thinking about, well, there's only three left in the row. So I might as well just finish off the row to make it neat so there's no crumbs, you know? And then I would be thinking, well, oh my gosh, you know, my kids are gonna come home and they'd be like, Mom, you ate the whole row, you know? Or my husband or whatever. So I better just eat the other row and throw away the box so they don't know that I ate a whole row of cookies. And, you know, just so pretty soon. I mean, the truth is I was gonna eat the whole box anyway. Right? But I had to play the mind games. And you know, it started with just three cookies. I was just going to have three. But really, I was going to have the whole box because I'm a compulsive overeater and that's what I do. So anyway, mostly a normal size during, you know, high school because of sports. But again, getting pregnant, we already went through that with the pictures. So the first time I ever heard about OA was when my husband's aunt came from Israel visiting. And the first time I saw her, she was probably what you said, super, super, super morbidly obese. And when she came to visit one time, she was thin. And I was like, what did you do? You know, like, And she said, Olé. And this is when I was young, like really young. So I was, you know, 22 or something. So I filed that back in my mind as an answer. If I ever needed something, go to, you know, OA, right? If it ever got bad enough. So that's when I went, and I went to OA. I found out later in Israel, they have OA How. And so that's, she had gone to OA How, not just OA. Okay. Yeah. So that's when, after I had the twins and I couldn't lose the weight, it was like 5 years after I had the twins, and people were asking me if I was pregnant, you know, because I still looked like I was pregnant. And I would be like, no, I just had twins. And they'd be like, oh, cute. How old are they? And I'd be like, 5. So, so then that's when I'm all mixed up here. So yeah, when I went to that OA meeting, kind of like you, there was only like 2 people there, and they were heavy. And I said, well, what do you do? And they're like, we can't tell you. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't tell me? And they're like, well, we don't tell people what to do. And I'm like, well, how do I know what to do then? And anyway, it was frustrating for me. And that's when I found out they don't eat sugar and they don't eat flour. But anyway, that's when I went home and tried the no sugar, no flour thing. I was eating then 6 gallons of sugar-free ice cream and sugar-free candy and French fries with melted sugar, and, you know, just all this stuff. And then that's when I just thought, okay, now my problem is volume. So I went to Weight Watchers to get the volume under control and did it with no sugar and no flour, and I lost weight. And that's what that picture was, where I had actually got down to a normal weight. But then when I got pregnant at age 37, I was older, and this disease is progressive. And once I got older, and after I had that baby and tried to go back and do the same thing that had worked when I was in my early 30s, didn't work when I was in my late 30s. Because once I started eating sugar again when I was pregnant, after I had the baby, I didn't want to stop. I couldn't stop. I could not stop. Well, I didn't want, let's put it this way. I wanted to stop, but not today. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so I would be like, okay, I'm going to do that again because it worked, but not today. Right? Because today I want to eat. Because if I'm eating, I always want to eat. And I can't stop. I can't stop on my own. So now OA doesn't work in my mind, right? My plan doesn't work with the Weight Watchers thing. And I'm at an AA meeting, and I'm talking to somebody who had been in OA, and she said, started talking about OA, and I said, oh yeah, I tried that, doesn't work. They don't even know what they're talking about. They don't talk about the steps. They don't talk about the big book. This is just my one experience, right? And she said, no, this group does. They use the big book. And that got my attention, because I was in AA and I love the big book and all that stuff. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, it's a new meeting in the area, and they use the big book. And I'm like, OA? And she's like, yeah. So I went there and I saw the sponsor line, and I was just like, my, you know, jaw dropping, like, this works, you know. And so I decided to, you know, to do it. I was sold. So, and right after my first meeting, I went to the convention. And at that convention in 2003, in the fall, they had a projection screen like this. And they had the before and after pictures of, you know, I don't know, they must have got the people from out east too. I mean, it was a ton of people. They were projecting them. And I was just like, you know, you could see,
the members were all thin, and you could see these super, super morbidly obese people next to them. And it was like miracle after miracle after miracle, the evidence on the screen. And I was just like, there was no question that this is what I was going to do. Because, you know, I had a family event coming up. I needed to have a professional, you know, we were going to have professional family pictures taken. And I needed to be thin for this because, you know, that's why we come in, right? We want to lose weight. So I sat down next to some women at the convention, and they started weighing and measuring their food. And that was great because then I could actually watch them do it, because I couldn't conceive in my head, like, how do you, you know, I saw the abstinence kit and stuff, but I'm like, what does that look like really, like in real life? And so I got to watch them do it, and that really helped me get, then I got a sponsor and I started doing it. The problem was, I still didn't think I was as bad as everybody else. And so I had a plan where I was going to just do it to lose the weight. And I wasn't going to give up sugar forever. I was just going to do it. I know. I had my own little thing. I thought I could still had the power of choice of when I was going to, when I could get abstinent and when I could binge. I thought I could just binge and then get abstinent and then have a binge and then get abstinent. So that was my plan. And I did that. So I had like 90 days. I was about to step up and I said, I'm going to have chocolate. And I did. And so then I had to start over. Cause our plan is like, if you go out and have a binge, you know, like it's that way for a reason, to prevent us from having a binge, you know, but there's consequences built in to help us not to go binge. Right. But I was willing to pay the price to have a binge, because I thought I could just have a binge, come back, get abstinence. And I did that and it worked. And I came back and I got a sponsor and I did assignment one. And then I went like a month and then I started over. And then I went 2 weeks and I started over. And then I went 1 week and I started over. And are you seeing the progression? And then I went 4 days and started over. And then pretty soon it was every day I was starting over. And pretty soon, and I couldn't make it through the day. And that's when I hit my knees and I cried and I begged God and I said, I can't stop. And that's when I realized I lost the power of choice when it came to food. I couldn't wake up in the morning and decide whether I was going to be abstinent or not. I couldn't choose anymore. Like, I couldn't wake up and say, I'm not eating sugar today, because I did eat it against my will. So I had lost the power of choice. Now I was totally, can I say the word screwed? Because I just did. I was screwed because I was in how, and I couldn't make it one day. And I used to think that I wasn't as bad as everybody else. Now I thought I was worse than everybody else, because all those people that had hundreds and hundreds of pounds to lose, they were abstinent. And I, who only had like 60 pounds to lose, couldn't get abstinent. And I didn't know what to do. So you know what? I just dropped to my knees, started crying, begged God, and I gave up. I just gave up. I stopped trying and I just said, God, help me. And when you stop trying and you just ask, that's called surrender. Mm-hmm. And that's when I surrendered. And that's when God, and a week later, my prayers were answered. Be careful what you ask for. Because a week later, my husband told me he didn't love me anymore. And, you know, we had just had a baby, you know, I mean, but I was in so much grief that my appetite left. And so I couldn't eat. And so I did what I had been doing every other day. Get a new sponsor, do question one, call in my food. That day was like broth because I couldn't eat because I was nauseous. And that was like May 12th, 2004. And that was my first day of abstinence for, you know, many, many years. And then what happened, you know, to lead to my relapse was I started messing around in how.
you know, I started, I lost my long, you know, I never really got long-term abstinence. You know, once I lost, like I think the most I ever had was 4 years. And once I lost that, I never really regained it back. To me, the obsession of the mind, I know now, isn't just about the food. I always thought the obsession was just about the thoughts about the food, you know, when they come into your mind, like, oh, I'm obsessing about food. For me now, I know today, it starts with a thought like, I'm not going to make all my calls today. I don't have to, I can skip a meeting or I can do whatever. And that's how it started for me. Just playing around the outskirts of OA, how, and just keeping one foot in, but not really being in, and just starting over like every 30 days for years. Never really being on the sponsor line long enough to sponsor anyone or to tell my story. And when you stop telling your story, you forget who you are. I forgot who I was. I forgot that I was an obese person. You know, and when you forget who you are, you repeat, you have to repeat it. And so it started with, you know, I started accidentally having, you know, abstinent foods that were triggers for me, letting those back in. And then pretty soon I was having sugar-free ice cream again. And then pretty soon all of a sudden last year, the thought came, you know what, just once before you go back and get abstinent again, just once you might as well just have regular ice cream, you know? And then I did. And then once I started, I couldn't stop. And you know how this disease is progressive? I had a half gallon of ice cream every night, if not more. In fact, I had to have every day, I had to have all the things that I hadn't had for, I don't know, 16 years. I had to have them all because I knew I was going to come back. I knew I had to come back or I'd be dead. But if I put on 25 pounds a month and I ate for 2 months and I gained 50 pounds. And if I would have kept going at that rate, I think I would be 250 pounds right now. You know, I think, I can't remember. I figured it out and I forgot, but it's progressive and it's deadly. And I have this disease. And I was so afraid when I was in the food, I couldn't stop. I wanted to stop. And I was like a runaway train. And every day I was just getting in bed at night with my ice cream and just eat it and eat it and eat it until it was gone. And every day, and then I would have to go to the consignment store and get bigger clothes. And I couldn't stop, and I couldn't stop. And I'd be calling you guys, and I'd be getting new sponsors. And I'd get like 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day. I knew I was going to go back. I could not go back. I couldn't stop until one day I got on the scale and it hit that number, the dreaded number. And in that moment, when I saw that number, that I had gained all my weight back that I had lost the first time. And in that moment, I was done. I was just done. And when I was done, God could answer my prayer because I stopped. But God couldn't answer my prayer while I was still eating. But when I was done, God removed the obsession that moment. And God did for me what I could not do for myself. That'll pass.
Okay, the floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing. In how meetings we share our experience, strength, and hope, no one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? And you may turn on your camera and speak, raise your hand, send a chat, or unmute via your phone. We can go until 8:55, so we have time for two-minute pitches. Does anybody here want to take a 2 minute? Now we have officially 3 minutes left. Somebody can do our official 3 minute pitch. Oh, get up and share about your program. Okay, here comes Rosemary. Thank you, Rosemary. Yeah, she'll share something about her program.
Okay, thank you. I'm Rosemary F. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rosemary.
And I was sitting back there thinking about getting up and pitching and talking about my program. I just spent two different times down in Iowa. That's where my grandparents came from and my parents. And the first part of last week, I was down there on the eastern side near Dubuque with friends. And I could weigh and measure, you know. And I could, as somebody mentioned, take her, I think it was a woman that spoke about the abstinence, you know, take my backup foods. And I take, when I go overnight or any place, I take a cooler. I have it on a wheel. And I take my, what I want to take, because I don't want to spend time, if I'm going someplace else, looking for what I could probably get in a grocery store, some of it. But I'm also gluten-free. So I have to, I can't just have gluten-free bread, because I can have a certain amount of bread. But most gluten-free bread is full of sugar. So it's very narrow brands that I can have. And so I take my milk and my yogurt and all of the things, and it just goes along with me. And if there isn't a refrigerator in the hotel room we're staying at, then I just have everything there. I have my ice, I have my bread, I have my nuts, I have some tuna fish. And I've been able through 14 years to travel a lot. And I've been to Africa while on the program. And I was able to be abstinent during that time. And I've been down in Mexico on the program. And it is doable. Sometimes I have to adjust it, and I need then to talk to my sponsor. And I'm so grateful because, I don't put sugar back into my thing or flour or things that I really can't have. But sometimes I have to be more flexible about when I can eat. When I was in Africa, my sponsor and I worked out because I was there on a fundraising trip with a charity, and people would have me in their room, in their home. And here I can explain to people I'm on a medical food plan, et cetera, and people will understand. And if they don't understand, that's their issue, not mine. But there, so she said, most of those cultures don't have much sugar in their food anyway. And so she said, as long as you're watching what you eat, and if they have a dessert or something, you're not going to eat too much. Well, they never had that kind of thing, so it wasn't difficult. But I'm so grateful for this program, because if it weren't for this program, I wouldn't have been able to go to Africa and take my granddaughter with me to learn about her heritage. I wouldn't have been able to go to Mexico and have fun there with friends. And just like last week, I wouldn't have been able to go to the first part of the meeting because I wouldn't have been able to get in and out of the car. I was up to 200 pounds by 14 years later. I'd probably either be dead or I'd be so fat that I couldn't do anything. And I couldn't fly, et cetera. And now I have a granddaughter down in college, and I can fly down and visit her, and I can help her clean out her room. I can help other people do things. And that's just some of the many blessings of this program. I'm not only healthy, but I'm also able to be of service and love and have fun. I've never had fun before.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rosemary. Okay, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today, tonight. And I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Michelle, who offered so much of herself. Thank you. May we please have the reading of Just for Today.
Hi again. Okay.
Hi,
hey, everybody. Okay. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do, just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have program. I will not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. And just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me.
Thank you, Revital. For those joining us in person, I would like to ask for your help in putting away the equipment and bringing this room back to its original setup after we have concluded our closing prayer. And thank you for your help with this. We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Thank you, guys. Thank you. And the closing statement, to those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove the compulsion and time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer? And those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves and let's pray for those who are still suffering. We do a circle? Okay. Let's pray for the still suffering compulsive overeater in and out of the rooms. God, grant me the serenity,
To
accept the things I cannot change.
Courage to change things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference.
I will
not mine, but mine be done.
Keep coming back. It works when you work it.
Give a lot of love.
Bye, you guys. Bye, everyone.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye. Did it!
Yeah, for 2 hours. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.